UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Murray 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
We're not taking a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I hope you all had a wonderful few days with your families. Now, in this final episode of 2020, we are joined by Kim from Las Vegas, and Kim will be sharing an encounter of an object of unknown origin while driving with a co-worker down Old Spanish Highway by South Nopar Range near Tecopa, California in 2005. Kim up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you, Nick. I'm so excited to tell my story.
And it's great to have you on. And you are calling from Las Vegas.
I am. Las Vegas, Nevada.
Out in the desert. And you're going to be sharing a sighting in South Nopar Range in California in 2005?
Yes. I haven't really talked to too many people about what I... wasn't just me. Some other people were there, but it did happen in 2005. Yes.
Good stuff. And you've also got some paranormal experiences. Would you like to start with the your sighting in 2005, please?
Let's talk about what happened in Tecopa, California. Well, this was me and a coworker. Both of us were working at the same hotel casino. And she was the person that took me out there. Name was Carol in the first place, a couple of weeks prior to what happened to us. So Las Vegas, it's hard to really see anything. There's so many lights in the sky. So we just wanted to go to Tecopa, California, because they have hot springs out there. We had worked our shift and it was around about 6 p.m. when we got off. And she was going to drive, and I said, great. We packed up all of our snacks, and she drove, and we headed out. It's a good, maybe about an hour, 15 minutes, 90 minutes going west of Las Vegas. And once you go over our Tarlis Mountain in Las Vegas that you can see as Mount Charleston. So once you kind of go in between Mount Potosi and Mount Charleston, you – are on at that time, this highway, really not a lot going on with this highway, not really well traveled. But once you turn on to Old Spanish Trail Highway, you kind of know that you have about another hour and 10 minutes to Tecopa, California. And so you're right on what we call the state line of Nevada and California. So once you turn on to Old Spanish Trail Highway, I just want to bring up the fact that there was a small area of mobile homes, because that's going to come into play later when I tell you what happened. So these mobile homes, and there's a few houses. Other than that, and I don't know if you saw those pictures I sent you, Nick, because it really is just at that time, nothing out there. There's no lights. There's no a lot of cars coming and going on this particular highway. It's just really desolate area. So we got to our destination, which was it's called Delights Hot Springs. And we were there for about maybe just soaking in the hot springs for about maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. We kind of hang out for a little bit and we soaked a little bit more. And so by the time we were looking at, it was probably around about 10:30 at night. And so we packed everything up and my friend Carol was driving. And so again, Tecopa, California to this day is a very small town. I want it that it's less than maybe 150 people that live there. And they're famous for the hot springs. So when you are leaving that little town to head back to Vegas, I just want to bring up again, nothing out there on the highway. And this was back in 2005. There's no cell phone towers. You couldn't even, when this happened, there was no way to call. There's no way to have any pictures. iPhone was not even around at that time. And so I had my little Samsung flip phone and that was it. Carol had her phone, but it wouldn't have mattered because we wouldn't have had any reception. So as we're leaving the hot springs, there was a truck on the side of the road and the hood was up and two people were standing outside of the truck and we passed them. And Carol and I kind of looked at one another and it's pitch black, dark. And she's like, Kim, she goes, we gotta turn around. There's no one here. They're going to be here for a while. And I said, you're right. So she turned the car around and the two people that were standing outside of the truck were elderly people. It was a husband and wife. The wife was so happy to see us. And Carol's like, is there any place I can take you? And do you live around here? She goes, I don't remember the lady's name at this time, but she goes, if you don't mind, my daughter-in-law lives down where the mobile homes are. So we both kind of knew where that was at because you see it when you turn onto Old Spanish Trail Highway. So she was saying something to her husband, or her husband was like, I'm going to stay here by the truck. Why don't you go with these two ladies and, you know, I'll be fine. So the wife got in the back seat and Carol starts driving. So I want to let your listeners know that when you're here in Las Vegas, you really do not see the Milky Way. You just don't. When you get outside of Las Vegas, there's so many lights. So once you drive like an hour and a half outside, you really get to see our galaxy, which is stunning. And this was no full moon. There was nothing going on. It's pitch black dark. And that is, I kind of want to set that stage of what was going on at that time. Again, we were just in the car and it was a nice night. And the lady was just, everybody was just talking. And so what was fun about it was the fact that I got to be someone who gets to look outside. I was on the passenger side and you have a picture of what I saw, Nick, which was, I thought was a shooting star at first. And then I thought, well, maybe it's some type of meteor coming down. So while these, my girlfriend who was talking and the lady that was in back, they were kind of chatting away. And I looked and I was like, oh, you know, I'm saying this to myself. I didn't say it out loud. I'm like, wow, this is great. Look at that shooting star. So as there's no other cars around, it's pitch black dark. This is around 10:45, close to 11 p.m. at night. And here is this thing like some anomaly, because it should have vaporized. That's what shooting stars and meteors do. And I was thinking, well, it's just going to burn up and just dissipate. Well, no, it didn't do that. So the girls were not paying attention to anything outside the right side. And whatever came down started, it was humongous or ginormous. And you have those sketches that I did for you, Nick. And so I turned, and that's when I exclaimed, like, what the hell is this? And that, it looked like a meteor. It was glowing pink inside. And the thing that was crazy, it was maybe 1,000 feet away from us, was that it was horizontally following us. And there was exhaust plumes of hot pink and blue streaks, which was kind of wild. And so the lady behind me, she's like, she's freaking out. And Carol's like, oh my God, what is that? And I'm like, what is going on here? So this extraterrestrial vehicle got closer, and I wanted to sketch how large it was, because this thing was ginormous, and it was right on the side. Carol has not stopped driving. To this day, I don't know why she didn't stop, but she's driving, and this thing was following us on the side horizontally. And I don't know why I remember this, because the our windows were rolled up. But the sound that I heard sounded like when you start like if you're getting ready to barbecue, like the propane tank, that's what the sound that it made. So as Carol is still driving, I don't know, maybe she felt like, if I stop, I feel like something is going to happen. And as large, ginormous as this thing was, I feel that it was there next to us. It was checking us out. And then it sped up and it did that 90-degree angle in front of us. And I sketched where it just took off in an instant, Nick, and went behind what our mountain is in Las Vegas, Mount Charleston, kind of in between Area 51 and Mount Charleston, and just flew off. That was it. So it was something that I talk about to this day. And as quick as all of this was happening, that I remember Art Bell, I don't know if you've ever heard of Art Bell, was still alive during that time in 2005. And I remember trying to go on his website and trying to see if anybody out in that area had seen anything like that. It was obviously something that was controlled, or it could have been organic. Do I think that there was any green little men inside? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it just, maybe we weren't a threat, three women in a car, because all it had to do was tap us and we would have flipped that car and that would have been it. Yeah, that's my story.
Doesn't sound much like a meteorite to me. could you engage a kind of a size when it was following alongside you?
Well, I would tell people it was like over, well, like 100,000 in a, like if you had to look at a very large building. Some of our larger hotel casinos here in Las Vegas, it was that large. And, you know, when I start talking to other people that have seen UFOs and things like that, I guess they come in all shapes and sizes. And mine just happened to be in that large, like I said, it looked like a meteor, but it was not. And I just think that it was aware of us. I don't think it was anything that our government made up or anything. I just think that some of them come from wherever they come from, and they can shapeshift maybe into different types of vehicles, extraterrestrial vehicles, UFOs, and it just did that. I think that for us, it looked like an asteroid or a meteor, but the thing that really was interesting was, and I showed that in my sketches, it was this hot pink that was very visible throughout of it, you know, so yeah, it's crazy.
Now Kim has provided maps and a sketch of the location of a sighting that the audience can go take a look at on the podcast website.
Thanks, Nick.
So I wonder what your passenger thought.
You know, after all that happened, you know, I think we're a little bit shaken up, of course, because it was just something that was not expected. I mean, we're just heading back home to Las Vegas, and we pick up this nice lady just to take her to her daughter-in-law's house. And after we had got to the destination of dropping her off, our conversation just kind of picked up again. I was like I said, it was something, you know, there were so many different places where I could call. I wanted to talk to Art Bell, and I was thinking, well, maybe I can go on some websites to see if anybody else had seen anything out there. But to this day, because Tecopa is not that far, well, it's about 2 hours from Death Valley. You're not that far from Area 51, maybe about 70 miles. So you're in this hotbed, and all you got to do is look up. You see all kinds of anomalies. I mean, we know what shooting stars look like, maybe even meteors for some people. We know what planes look like. And you just see some of the craziest orbs and things out there. There are meetup groups here in Las Vegas that go out there to this day, to not to Tecopa, but out there just to do a SETI 5 and see what they see out there.
Of course, the desert regions are very active, aren't they? Even still to this day, I get many reports.
To this day it is, yes.
Many reports.
Which I think is fun. I always tell people, I'm like, Vegas is, you know, it's kind of hard not to say that people have not witnessed things here in the city of Las Vegas. Lots of people have, but it's only until you leave the city and you go out in the desert and you really see some strange objects in the sky that can't be explained.
Las Vegas, go for the casinos, stay for the UFOs.
Right.
I'm not a gambling man, so I'll definitely for the UFOs.
Yes, I tell people that, especially if there are a lot of people that are moving here, or they're like, well, what else is there to do? You know, because the strip and gambling and entertainment, it's kind of has slowed down a little bit because of the COVID-19 here. But there's more to Las Vegas than just the city. So if you want to get out and have some other fun things nowadays, because the phones are a little bit better than what I had, the still, you probably will not get great reception out there because there's no internet. I always say bring a camera, take some pictures.
Good idea. Always a good idea.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Would you like to move on to your paranormal experiences, please, Kim?
I remember my first ghost experience happened when I was a child. I had to be 4 years of age. It took place in Los Angeles, California. My grandparents had owned an apartment complex. It was 8 units in total. The apartment complex were separated by a courtyard, so there was 4 units on one side and 4 units on the other side, and it was 2-story. My mother, brother, and I lived in one of the flats upstairs. And in between the apartment complexes was a beautiful courtyard. And so downstairs, across from our apartment, was where my great-grandmother lived with her daughter. So in between the courtyard was stairs leading up to our back door, my mom's house. I wasn't in school or anything like that at that time. My older brother was in school and my mother was home asleep. And I remember just opening up the door. I mean, this was something that I normally did and just would walk down the stairs to go visit my great-grandmother, Honey, and my aunt Lily. I remember walking in and, as always, just being surrounded by love. And, in the living room, you had these windows where you could see the stairs leading up to my mother's apartment. From what I can remember to this day, I remember visiting my grandmother for just a little bit because my eyesight was on the back stairs for some reason. And I remember seeing this little girl around my age. She was dressed in a very nice coat. She had long blonde hair that was curled. She had a wide brim hat, like she was going to church. That's how dressy she looked. And these black patent leather shoes. And she was not looking around. She was going up the stairs. Now, the stairs led to two back doors. One of the back doors led into my mom's house, and the other back door was to a neighbor's house. So I remember looking at this little girl, and I was so excited. And I remember seeing her go up the stairs and into my mother's house. I remember I was 4 years of age. So I didn't miss a beat. I ran out of my grandmother's apartment, and I remember just running up the stairs and into my house. Nick, I looked all over that house for that little girl. This was a three-bedroom apartment, one bathroom. There were stairs leading to the front door of our house. I looked all over. I could not find her. And I remember going into my mom's room because she was asleep. And I remember waking her up. And I said, "Mom," I said, "where is she?" I'll never forget those words. I said, "Where is she?" And my mother was kind of waking up. She's like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, where's the little girl?" And she's like, my mother didn't get up to look. She just knew there was no one else in the house. She's like, there's no little girl. The reason why I asked her is because I wanted to play with her. My mom, years later, decades later, we would bring that story up, and she knew that I saw a ghost. She did. And that was my first experience. So fast forward to me being an adult and getting into the massage profession. I've been doing this for 20 years. 17 of those years is working in these hotel casino, 4 and 5 diamond spas here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And after 17 years, I had decided that I wanted to start my own massage business. I had become a Reiki healer master within 6 years. I didn't know that it would enhance my ajna, my third eye, my pineal gland. A couple of years before that, I still do to this day, teach tarot card reading. I do some tarot card reading, and, I was working out of some wellness centers. So I was kind of knowing that I had these abilities, but never really understood that they were going to be 1,000 times enhanced when I became a Reiki healer. One of the most profound stories that I wanted to bring up was just a really innocent story of a woman I had never met.
This was a client. She was a referral for me. And she was coming in for a massage. And I remember looking at her and I kind of sized her up because her hair was so wiry gray. She looked like a Wiccan to me. She had these glasses on and she had a pointed nose. And I just said, there is something about you that just kind of, I don't know. She was very pleasant, very nice. And she came in for a massage. She got a massage from me. After the session, we were kind of talking a little bit. And she was like, you know, I see that you also do some Reiki sessions. And I said, yes. And I said, would you be interested if you want to come back for that? I'd be happy. And she goes, yeah, that would be great. She goes, I feel like I've been not balanced. I'm slightly off. And my husband, who's been very sick, and I just need to maybe balance myself. And, you know, I would love to, I've had a Reiki session before, she was telling me, and I would love to get it again. And I said, sure. So she had made an appointment 2 weeks out and she came back for her Reiki session. A Reiki healer, there's a few ways that you can do it. You can have the person sitting in a chair, they're always fully dressed, or they can be on the massage table. My massage suite was decorated all in purple. I love the color purple. It represents the crown chakra, which is the starting point, the top of your head. And it's a very beautiful, very soothing color. So almost everything in there was purple. So when a client comes in, I tell them what to expect from this Reiki session, that you are going to be on my massage table. You're going to be fully dressed. I am either going to be sitting in my purple chair and just hovering over, we're going to start with your crown chakra. So my hands are hovering over this person's head and I'm going to go down through all of your chakras, hovering over each one to see if one or all of them need to be balanced, as well as going limb to limb in and around your body, putting the Reiki energy into this person. Being psychic, and I had noticed years before that sometimes things come through on a Reiki session. And it's because both client and myself are completely relaxed. And this is when I do allow my third eye to be open. I tell the client that sometimes if something comes through, relative or something needs to be said, I will get up and I will write it down. So that's kind of what I wanted her to expect. So I had decided to put some light music on. My diffuser was going. So the room, you're really enveloping an atmosphere of relaxation so that you can heal this person and put some Reiki healing and beautiful energy for them to feel good, balance all their chakras before they leave. And I like to start with the crown chakra. So I had decided to sit down in my chair. I am facing their head and I'm hovering over the crown chakra. Sometimes downloads for me, they come fast and furious within this beginning point of how I start. You can start from the feet, but I like to start from the crown chakra. And I remember as I'm meditating and I'm closing my eyes and this person is relaxed, they're on their back and we are going into this Reiki session, that I may see some things. Sure enough, that's what happened. In this vision, it's like flipping a channel on a TV. The first thing that I saw was my grandmother who had passed maybe 23, 24 years prior to this. And she's standing there and she's looking at me. I have a couple of different spirit guides, and three of the most profound spirit guides that I have that watch over me is Pegasus and these two twin cobras. They're white and they were there. So I don't know why they showed up. That was unusual for me, but they were there. And as I continue on with my story, I kind of know why they were there. As I'm hovering over this woman's head, the vision that came was this flat land and I saw this house. I knew I was in South Dakota. I didn't ask this woman where she was born, but later on I found out that she was born in South Dakota. It's completely flat territory, landscape, not too far from where my grandmother and my spirit guides are. And I see this kind of 2,000 square foot home, two-story, that had a patio that wrapped around the front entrance to this house. And this house was not a very good looking house. This house was oozing dark liquid. It looked like a sick house. I knew my curiosity was going to take over because the door was open. And I remember walking up toward the house, onto the patio, through the door. There's no furniture at all in this house. Again, my curiosity has taken over because I knew that there was a reason why I'm seeing this, that there might be a reason why this woman is stuck. I feel like in order for me to cleanse and heal is to understand what is holding you back, because there's something that's quite prevalent with this vision. I remember walking up the stairs and here's this door open. I see this man sitting in a rocking chair. And I knew that he had passed. There was nothing in this room at all except for him. And I can see beyond him is this very large window where you can see out. And there's nothing out there. This room was dark. Again, it was oozing brown, nasty liquid. And any time that I'm introduced to someone who has passed, and I know it has either to be a friend of this client or a relative of this client or someone that she knows that she is holding, he or she is holding on to, and we need to figure this out. So I was really happy to see this person because I knew it was a relative and I knew that this man had passed. And I remember coming around, standing in front of him, and he's sitting down in this rocking chair and he's looking at me. He's not saying one damn word. And when I see him, I know that he had died in his mid-60s. He was a Caucasian man. His hair was parted on the side. Very distinguished looking man. Silver and gray hair with these very large black rimmed glasses on. And I remember looking at him and I was smiling and I introduced myself like I always do. And I said, my name is Kim. And I said, who are you? And he didn't say one word. I was like, Well, within a second, he goes behind his back and he pulls out a rifle and he points it at me. And I looked at him and I was raising my right hand and I was like, whoa, 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 we are not going there. We're not going to go there. I'm only here to help my client. And I know that you are a relative and I don't know why you're pointing this gun at me, but you are going to stop. As soon as I said that, my white cobras, my twins, came up. They were in the room and they looked at me and they said, Kim, get out of here. They started to coil and I knew he was getting ready to pull the trigger and my cobras were striking this man. And I backed out of that room, vision ends, and I'm thinking, wow, I need to get up. And I need to write down some words and then continue on with this Reiki session. After we had gotten done with the Reiki session, I like for my client to kind of get their equilibrium back. And they can either stay on their back or they can sit in the chair. And this client decided she wanted to get up and sit in the chair. And I wanted to tell her, I said, you know, this doesn't happen all the time, but in your instance, there was a relative or someone that came through and I described this person to this client and she told me, I don't know who that is. She goes, the thing that you said with this person grabbing a rifle, she goes, in the last Reiki session I had, the Reiki healer also described something with a rifle. And I looked at her perplexed because I was like, there's something weird about you. And I'm so glad that we're done with all of these sessions and things. And, you know, I'm going to give you love and light and let you go because there's something really weird about this whole thing. And I told her, I said, you know, I hope everything is well. Hope you enjoyed your session. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, sometimes people will come back and call me on the phone or text me saying that they know who I'm talking about. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen with you, but it might. So anyway, that's how we left it.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
A couple days later, I get this text, Nick, and this woman is describing how she talked to a cousin of hers. And she was telling me that she had a picture of an uncle, my uncle. And she had sent me, Nick, a picture of her uncle. And underneath she goes, "Is this him?" And as soon as I saw that picture, I got shivers and I texted her back. And I still have the text to this day. I have all of it to this day. And I said, "Heck yeah." I said, "That's exactly him." She goes, "You described him to a T." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Me and my sister never really liked him." And I'm texting her. I said, "Yeah, okay, but that's him." And I knew that she said that because I knew that she was, her and her sister were being sexually at that time. Again, this uncle had transitioned out, were being sexually abused by him when they were children. So within those 3 days, I was back at work, and a friend of mine, she's kind of a client friend. We're both born on the same month and day, and she's empathic as well. And she was a new mom, and she had come in for a massage. And so after we had gotten done with the massage session, her name is Leanne. And I just said, "You know, I had like a really disturbing instance." And she goes, "Yeah, like what?" And I told her about the story about the woman and about this uncle and this vision. And she looked at me, she, without me even missing a beat and kind of telling her, "Yeah, I saw this man. He was in the room." She goes, "Oh yeah, he was molesting. He was in your client as well as his sister, as well as other children in their neighborhood." And I looked at Leanne and I said, "You're damn right." Because that's what I was picking up too. So Leanne and I didn't think too much. This is how we usually do, and kind of how I don't kind of keep going on and on about psychic, stories or instances. And I kind of left that alone. But it's really weird, after I had talked to my friend Leanne about it, I came home that day, and I have an adult son, and he came to visit me. And something was happening that we were just not resonating, and we had the biggest argument. And we don't argue, and it was so wild. And I was thinking, why are we arguing over something that is just mundane and not really that important, but we are just not resonating, and we're just not seeing eye to eye. And I didn't, whatever it is, we didn't finish. We just kind of like left. And I was thinking, as a mother, I was like, this should not be happening, because you and I, we don't argue. We love each other. A couple of hours after my son had left, I get a phone call from Leanne saying that, "Kim," she goes, "We were just talking." She goes, "I just wanted to let you know that me and my husband," she goes, "I don't know what happened, but we had the biggest argument." And I was like, wow. And I said, "Leanne, do you think that nasty man followed us both home?" And she goes, "That's exactly what it is." I said, "We got to close him down. We got to sage. We got to close this guy down." So she goes, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to try to send you some long distance Reiki for closure. I'm going to try to sage and close this man out. I got to go back into this vision and I got to see what's going on." So long story short, I was in a quiet space in my house, and I remember meditating and going into a deep meditation. And in that meditation, my grandmother appeared to me, and I remember we're back in front of this oozing, crazy looking house. And she looked at me. She goes, Kim, I don't want you going back in there, but I'm going to go and I'm going to close this man, this spirit, this evilness down. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to retrieve your spirit guides. And I'm going to have a few words with this guy and we're going to shut this down. And you're going to be all right after this. And that's exactly what I saw in my vision. And my two cobras, they're actually twins. They're called Two and Two and or 22. And if anybody's into gematria, I didn't know that 22 meant twins, but now I do know that. But that's just one of my paranormal stories. And I have a lot of them. And now, since I'm getting better at closing things off, and you have to really prepare when you start having your third eye open, making sure that you close it down. Because if you open yourself up, and this is what children who don't understand, they don't have parents that understand that their child is empathic. These entities, these beings that are infinite will find you. They will see and say, oh, this person has their third eye open. I want to come in because I have some things I need for you to tell that person. I need to express some things. And if you don't want to be inundated on a continuous basis, every second, every minute, every hour, 24 hours of these things coming through, you have to learn how to shut it down and how to shut them down so you can live some type of normalcy. You don't think that you're going crazy because you are dealing with so many different things in your life. I tell my Reiki students before they even attempt to learn Reiki that this happens. It happens without you knowing that you're picking up on someone that has died, on a pet that has died, on an animal that has died, on an entity that has left this earth, left and died from a house across the street that is now walking through your house. To this day, anyone coming into my home, Nick, I do not allow for them to walk in my house with their shoes on. You will leave your shoes at the door. I don't want you bringing in anything that you walked on sidewalk. I don't know where you've been. You might be walking over somebody that was murdered. Something happened. They were sick. They died on the spot and you're bringing that. I'm psychic. Into my house, I don't want them coming through to me like that. So you take your shoes off the door. And usually sometimes I will be saging right after they leave. So just to make sure. Saging, that's a whole other thing. And I think I'm going to talk about that on my website, is powerful. And there's a right and wrong way to sage. Everything is intention, you know. So,
you know, Nick, we were talking a little bit earlier about I feel like almost every human being has capabilities of being psychic. And it's just, you train yourself into that. The more you meditate and you don't overwhelm yourself with that, you can really see a lot of things. You know, just don't take things for granted. You know, I tell some of my friends, they're especially children, see a lot of things, you know. And so for me, this happened, I'm going to say about maybe 8 years ago. I had maybe 2 years in this apartment and loved the area that I was in. And I lived upstairs and the apartment complex was just a really great apartment complex. I had already became a Reiki healer. I was not a Reiki master at this time. But still some things were happening to me that I couldn't explain. But this was kind of interesting. So the apartment downstairs was vacant and a gentleman had moved in who I want to say was in his 40s. Really nice guy. We kind of wave when I would go up my stairs and said, how are you doing? I said, hi. And my son was living with me at that time. You know how it is sometimes here in Vegas is kind of, people would say, well, a lot of people don't know their neighbors, but I always say, you know, at least wave to somebody. After a few months, I was really busy working and taking care of my son. So this is getting close to New Year's Eve. So I want to say this is about around like 2003 or 2004. But what happened was I had decided that I wasn't going to go out that night for New Year's Eve. I was like, been there, done that, and I don't want to be around all these people. We used to party really hard, and I said this year, because I had to work the next morning. I went to bed early that day, and I woke up, and I was getting ready to watch the Rose Parade on TV. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California, so I kind of missed that. I could watch that parade. I said, I'm going to watch that before I go into work. So I was sitting on my sofa, was drinking my cup of coffee, and I heard this wailing and crying. And I was like, oh no, not today. Please, not today. And I peeked out and I saw this woman I had never seen before who was on the phone. And she's in the courtyard and she's really crying and wailing. And I just, something sunk in my heart, like somebody had passed. The events that happened, there was a fire department that is like right behind where I live. And so the paramedics, everybody's coming and I'm just kind of peeking out. I'm not really wanting to really get involved. And they're not doing anything. All of these firemen are on their personal cell phone. So to me, when somebody's on their personal cell phone, that this person has died. So they're just waiting for the coroner. Now, this is January 1st, and the police didn't come for about 45 minutes. So the person that I had known downstairs had died. And to this day, I really don't know what he died from, but he died in his sleep. The next day, after the coroner had come and taken his body, his family was there the next day moving his things out of the apartment. And I had gone out to go to work. And I was saw the same woman that was crying and wailing. And I said, I'm so sorry for your loss. And she goes, did you hear anything? And I was like, no, I didn't hear anything. Just a bunch of dogs and fireworks. And that was it. They had moved everything out of the apartment. So in about a month, the leasing agent is getting the apartment prepped for someone new to move in. And someone moves in, Nick, and they only stay for about a month and they moved out. They go and clean up the apartment again. Somebody moves in, Nick. They only stay for about 3 months. Clean up the apartment again. Somebody moves in and they only stayed for like 6 weeks. I was talking to my son and I was like, you know, what's going on? He goes, what do you think, Mom? And I said, well, I said, the guy downstairs that died in the apartment is still in the apartment and he doesn't want anybody in there. That's what's going on. The apartment complex was sold. At that time, they had a new leasing agent. And I had gotten to talk to her and I said, you're getting ready to rent the apartment below again. She goes, yeah. And I said, would you do me a favor? I go, I'm a Reiki healer and I have sage. And I said, she goes, oh, I have sage too. I said, would you do me a favor? Would you sage that apartment? Because there was somebody that died in there. It's the reason why you can't keep it rented. So she did, Nick. And there was a family that moved in. The family didn't even know about what happened, but the family was in there. And I knew that it had been saged and that the his presence in there was lifted because the leasing agent had saged that whole apartment, which was great.
Yeah, that's an unusually high turnover of residents, that is.
Well, I don't think people understand that usually if people die in their house and sometimes even in a neighborhood, they pass through like that. They visit you, they visit people. Some people are angry that they pass, or people don't even know that they've left. So it's really important, I always say, to release them. And sometimes saging or having a Reiki healer or a psychic to come through and move them on is always a good thing because you're going to have problems.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they don't want to move on, especially if they've lived there for a while, you know, new people move in, they're noisy.
Yeah, and the laws are kind of interesting here in Nevada. They don't have to let you know if anybody was murdered or anything. Like in California, they have to, the real estate agents have to let you know if anybody died of unusual circumstances. Here in this state, you don't know. So you should always be cleansing and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's important, to be honest.
For sure.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I just, I tell my students, it's just better to, make sure that you ground yourself and protect yourself from these beings and entities. And it's just like, I think my UFO experience, I think some of them are organic. It doesn't mean that it has to be little green men inside of these extraterrestrial vehicles or anything like that. Maybe they just, it is what it is. Maybe there's a rip in the universe. Maybe they come through like that. Some people think that it could be us in the future coming back, checking us all out. And I said, there's nothing wrong with any of that.
To our listeners, anyone that wants to connect with Kim, all the links you can find in the description below this episode.
Nick, thanks so much. I'm so happy to get my stories out. You know, people think that you are a little bit off or a little bit crazy if you start talking to other people that are not family and close friends. And it's good to get some of this out and just know that there are things out there that people see. There are ghosts and paranormal that people witness and see. And there's a lot of us out there. So don't feel like you're all alone.
You're not alone. And yeah, this stuff is very much real. I really appreciate you coming on today, Kim, and sharing this for our listeners.
Thank you, Nick, so much. I appreciate this too.
That is all for this year, I'm afraid. And if you or a family member would like to get in contact with me to share an encounter, please email me at the usual address, ufochronicles@gmail.com, or connect with me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. Keep up to speed with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Now, 2020 has been a good year for the podcast. I have spoken to so many wonderful people about their experiences, and I'm very happy they came to this show to share them with you all. I'm not going to lie, it has been hard work, especially this year, but I love doing this, and I will continue to bring forward more witnesses to share their accounts. I have seen the listener base quadruple over the last few months, and we are on our way to 1 million downloads. Not there yet, but we will be soon. Thank you to everyone that has supported the show and all the kind emails I receive almost daily, so keep them coming. It makes it all worth it. Big thank you to Kim for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back on the 3rd of January, so a very happy new year, everyone. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.
Independence for your side. then we fought on the run. As the sky lit up all around us from our guns, and again it was you. Said, I'm Leopold, and you're the man they sent to kill me, I've been told. You're the only man I know won't fight for gold, and that's why you're my best friend. We've been brothers all along to the end. Paths crossed once before. It was many years ago before this war, and I gave you your name. It's what I've come so many miles to explain. You're the son I never got to hold. Your name is Leopold. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Now I die at your side, and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night, and you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. My wife, but that is why I came, to say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Now my son, tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my land and all my guns. You are leaving.